Welcome to Unknown Artist. I'm your host, Nikki E. Taylor, and you're listening to episode 6 with Chlorel.
So forward to this.
Wow, thank you.
Have Chlorel singing to me. We're drinking mojitos. It's a sunny, beautiful day. This is fantastic.
Oh. Yeah.
Tell me about that song. I don't know if I've ever heard that song.
Oh, no, I don't think I've ever played it like live.
Why not?
I don't know. This happened. It's on my EP though, so it's called Kiss the Whole World, and I recorded a version of it for the EP that I've been recording that's getting mixed and mastered. That should be out in a couple months' time now.
Oh, that's so exciting. I didn't know you were working on that.
So, that's it. So, it was an idea that I had, I think, at some point last summer. And I don't really remember what was the, the thematic primer, why, but I just remember kind of, moving on the guitar and just kind of like that intro line kind of coming and then starting building from there. But I guess it's a reflection on just maybe cynicism in a way, a feeling that there's nothing good in the world, so why should we care about anything, what's the point of anything, which I believe most of us have felt at least once, across different times in our lives. I try to give it somewhat of a hopeful color as well, just that, it's interesting that things work out in the long run,
Yeah, I find, when I'm songwriting, especially ones where I'm, really down or, just really negatively affected, there will often be, some sort of, positive part of the song to just try to convince myself keep going.
Yeah, right, because I think it's the same thing with, the things, our entertainment, arts in general, because, real life, gets real sometimes, and so, art is usually our escape, is where we get to kind of tell a different story. And I think it's part of it's in human nature to just be very, very, very hopeful and just wish for the best when everything around us tells us that it's not likely.
There's a lot of evidence to the contrary.
Right, absolutely.
But the cool thing is there's a lot of evidence for just about anything.
If you look enough, you find the evidence that you look for. So I guess that's kind of what the song is about in a way. Just keeping one's head up. And the EP is kind of the EP in general was a very lo-fi affair, really built around voices and guitars, but this song, it was kind of in the EP, it's the last song, and it's because I realized some of the themes that it's just five songs total, but some of the themes aren't necessarily all happy, it's not necessarily the most cheerful art, but I just kind of like the idea of someone, kind of just taking it back to just a voice and guitar. And it speaks to my own experience of it too. When I started playing in university, playing the guitar, that's where I learned, that's when I started learning. And the guitar was really kind of a bit of an escape, I started in chemistry, so sometimes, a couple of times a week, we'd have labs. And so after a long afternoon in the lab, kind of in this place with little natural light and everything, I kind of want to come back and return to more essential, grounded, rooted things, and so playing the guitar was kind of a nice escape for that too.
So
the guy at the end of his long work day kind of comes home and just sits on his bed and starts playing the guitar and just for a little bit and then feels a bit better after that. It's kind of part of what I wanted to illustrate too.
Yeah, definitely. Music is so healing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's something that occupies all of your attention. Well, maybe not all. I do find sometimes I get a little
distracted. Obviously, the more you do it, obviously, the more you have opportunities to just be distracted. But all the same, man, it's, I think, like you said, it occupies us in ways that other activities don't. And because of that, there's nothing quite like, you can do a whole lot of different things and, you can experience all kinds of success, all kinds of strife in your life, but nothing, really replaces that need for music, either listening to it or playing it. It's something very, very essential. Of course, it's almost like we're breathing, we don't necessarily think about it, but it's really essential to our human experience. At least for those of us who are able physically to experience it, once we get a taste of that, it's definitely,
I think everyone can experience music to some degree in their own way.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it is like a very like strong impulse. Like even if you are deaf,
okay,
there's still
like
a lot of deaf people who the vibrations
they'll
pick up like the drums.
Yeah, I guess that's why you're right, absolutely. Like the rhythmic pulsations and things like that. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there's an incredible documentary called Touch the Sound, and it's this percussionist who is like this world-renowned, amazing percussionist who's deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just her going about like how she finds sounds and how she like really integrates that into her performances and as like a very unique experience or a very rare experience.
Okay. Yeah, that's
kind of
cool.
It's interesting. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
Okay, that's just...
Yeah. Are you playing another one from the EP or something else?
This next one is going to be something else. It's not on the EP. You know, so it seems like a lot of the songs on the EP were written like within the last couple of years. So in the meantime, I kind of started working on other things and collaborating with other people. But like, so this is one of a more recent one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have a seat, here's a plate. Wipe the sadness from your face. You're much too loved, much too loved to feel this way. If you forgot, let me give you a reminder. Even though you're acting like your way to grow, to let it show. Oh no, but a mother's heart knows. Hope so, settle down and let this homemade love make you as good as new. You're acting like you're way too grown to let it show. this homemade love make you as good as new?
So how new is that?
I want to say like maybe like 3-4 months. Three months.
So it's fresh. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I feel like maybe people who don't write music don't quite realize that 3 months is fresh.
Yeah, it is. No, well, I mean, the other thing is that for me, like I have so many different ideas going on at the same time, you know, so like sometimes I'll start something and then I have like maybe like a melodic idea, like a verse idea or a verse or a chorus idea, and then go do something else and then not come back until literally months later. So that's why. So like when I say like fresh as in like it started taking like this kind of shape very recently. Yeah, like a little, yeah, 2 months maybe even, like although the melodic ideas, I think I probably have like played around with them for longer than that, I think.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
Oh, thanks. So that one is called Homemade Love. Mm-hmm. And it was just it was inspired by last summer I got to have my grandma visiting, staying here with us in Montreal from Cameroon for a few months. And it was just a very nice experience because she was staying with us, and just kind of like almost like when you're a child and you come back and like there's like food and it's like, okay, how's your day been? Like just like this outpouring of just care and attention.
Yeah, a real family
just,
home.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, very comforting. So I guess that's where the homemade love theme comes from. And so, yeah, it was just, I guess, some kind of tribute to that in a way.
That's so beautiful. Have you played it for her?
Not yet. I think I played it for my mom, for my parents actually, both of them. And I think I'm working on getting a nice recording of it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's most likely going to be like a similar, like low key kind of vibe, so not too crazy as far as instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited to share this one too. Well, I guess I just have, but like, you know, doing recording.
Yeah, in like a more deliberate, like,
constructed
way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I know, like, you play with The Hurt and you rock a huge sound really well, but it's so nice that you also are very good with that intimate sound that I think a lot of people, it's hard. It's really hard.
You have to feel it, right? Like, you have to, like, just, you know, for some people, I guess, if that's not where your head is, if you're looking for a specific kind of rush, then you probably won't get much satisfaction from doing it like this, and so you're probably not going to try to work at, like, doing something nice in this way, you know. For me, I've just, lullabies, I've always liked lullabies, nursery rhymes and things like that, so I definitely, and as a singer, as a vocalist as well, you know, I just connect really well to a slower, more down-tempo music, you know, just generally speaking. So, and I know that a lot of what I write kind of comes out in that vein as well, you know, that kind of vibe. So yeah, no, it's honestly, I feel privileged that I get to do this and that I have this ability to do it like that.
Do you feel like you'll ever use this song as a lullaby?
Possibly, it does have a very lulling. I can see it definitely. Like it's meant to be kind of like a nice soothing, you know. Soothing is definitely a word that comes back often whenever like people hear me play. Like whenever it's like if it's just me, right? It's just me and the guitar. Yeah, so. That's not outside of the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, do you ever really like get the opportunity to play much for people when it's not a show or a practice, you know, specifically?
I've gotten a few. So, you know, obviously we have the more like the pub shows, you know, the bar shows or the wedding shows. And so those are like the mandates that are clearer, you know. Mm-hmm. But I have some, you know, in Montreal, I know there's a few places where you can do that. You know, I used to go to Yellow Door sometimes. Mm-hmm. I have some friends that do, that like to organize house shows too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recently my friend Lenny, maybe you know Lenny?
I don't think
Lenny?
I do.
No? No, okay, well, a really cool singer-songwriter, you know, amazingly talented singer, musician in Montreal. And so at her place, you know, down in the plateau, sometimes she organizes these house concerts, and I got to play at one. It was really nice because, you know, then you get those kinds of audience that are just more into like listening to what you're saying and more receptive to something slow. If you do something slow at a place like, you could do it anywhere really. Like there's no reason why, you know, you can do. And I generally tend to do what I want, you know, especially if it's just me, you know. I try not to be too dependent on what the atmosphere is in mm-hmm. a specific place. Now, obviously, like if you're hired to play at a bar, like then generally I'm just gonna veer things that I'm toward things that are more recognizable, you know, mm-hmm. just in general, because I guess when you play music like this, it's more impactful, I find, when you know that like whoever you're playing it for is listening and it can receive it in that mm-hmm. way. You know? Otherwise, it's not as satisfying, I find. But
yeah.
More to your question, you know, I'm lucky that I do know a few people that frequently organize things like that where you have an opportunity to really play that kind of music to attentive and receptive audience. So yeah, I've been doing that. Last year I got to play at the Soul Far concerts. Foster a similar kind of like atmosphere, I guess, you know, just people kind of like intently listening. So yeah, I've gotten to do that as well. So that was and I think definitely for me that's definitely setting in which I'm most I really like doing that, you know. So I'm looking to do even more.
More house shows.
Yeah, well, more house shows. I'm more intimate, you know, like just more intimate sounding music, you know, in those kind of settings. I guess there's different types of music fit better in different places, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing some kind of a more outdoorsy show, I'm guessing maybe that lends itself more to something a bit more easily recognizable that people can just engage with in a more immediate manner.
Yeah.
But with that said, I mean, that's just general guidelines, but with that said, you know, like I think the number one best thing about being an artist is that you can do just whatever whatever you want. So.
Yeah, you can have that full range of emotion style and still.
Like you're in charge of it, basically. You know, like you dictate what the feeling is going to be. You know, so if you're in a space where you know, like you have that license, where basically you've been hired as a musician, not just as someone who can provide a specific kind of entertainment, then yeah, man, they gotta run with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that power?
I do. Yes, I do. I do. Try and use it responsibly. Yeah,
good. I'm sure you would. Well, do you got another song?
Yeah, I guess I could share. Let's see. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. So jealous of whoever you wrote that for. And I'm pretty sure just about anyone who is listening is thinking the same thing. But how recent is that?
This is, so it's actually funny. This actually started out as a project that my friend Max Dent, if you know Max.
Yeah, I do.
Of Max fame. So a good friend of mine in Soul Lab, I think about a couple of years ago, we started out this little kind of like project, two of us, where we basically at, I think on a weekly basis, we had to send each other like a completely new original track, you know, as produced and as completed as possible, you know. And every week?
For how long?
Well, we just wanted to try it out, you know. I think we ended up doing it for, very seriously. I mean, we probably went through, I want to say, three or four rounds.
That is ambitious.
It is very ambitious, and I mean, you know, it is difficult. But I have to say, man, I mean, like, yeah, like, it was just a cool exercise, just to kind of hear, like, the kind of things he could come up with in such a short time, and, like, to just kind of try to push yourself and see what you can come, you know, because I'm not a particularly fast writer, you know, I'm just kind of person that likes to, like, just really mull over ideas and just, like use them in the most satisfying way, you know, like, more so than just to get something out for the sake of getting it out. But that was just good because then, you know, I just kind of had to, like, dig somewhere and just find something, you know. And so that was the first, so this song, in a different form, was my first submission for that project. So at the time, you know, it was pretty much the similar progression, but like the lyrics were a bit different and the theme and the pacing was a bit different. But, you know, over the course of us doing that, you know, we kind of like, I guess each of us like kind of built up a little like stash of just ideas, you know, and, you know, since that's something that I like to do, kind of like go back and listen to these ideas, because what I find is that oftentimes when you listen to them after some time, after taking a mental break from them, you're really coming to them as a new, refreshed person, you know, and so you have different ideas, or maybe you're just being exposed to other things, so you have something new to just kind of like, you have a new places, new ideas where you can take those ideas, new places you can take those ideas. And so, that's what I did with this one. So I've been working with this friend of mine, Jean-Michel Frédéric. He's a producer, really great producer, a friend of mine who plays keyboards, you know, in different bands here. And so, we kind of met up a few times over the past couple months, and I come in with essentially some kind of like a chord progression or an idea like that, you know. And then he just kind of like run it through like with a special sauce, and just turning into like this really nice production. And then while that was happening, you know, I found that it was actually like easier for me to find words that would match that, like just to react to what was happening on the production side. So like doing that kind of like enabled me to kind of change the pacing and the meaning and the words in the songs a bit to closer to what you just heard. And so, okay, so this was obviously an acoustic version, so like, you know, working on a more like produced version. But I kind of like that, you know, even like that be something that you can still communicate that kind of, you can communicate like the energy and the feel and the spirit of the song even acoustically like this. So I want to say like this was finished about like, I want to say 1 month ago, not very long ago. It's more than another reason.
Yeah, it's really fun playing with other musicians and composing with other musicians and seeing like what their energy brings to your own writing.
Absolutely.
And brings out of you.
No, and it's rare because, I mean, you know, I've been in situations before, you know, of co-composing, but sometimes you feel more like you're doing more compromising than anything else, you know. It's not like, in my experience, you know, it's been really special when you can get work with someone and like, you know, or collaborate with someone and you really feel like whatever you are putting, they're just putting such a nice and interesting, uniquely them spin on it that you couldn't have like thought, and that kind of like opens it up and says, oh, we can take it to this other place, you know. And at no point do you feel like basically something is happening where like you, like your own identity can't stand behind it anymore just because you don't recognize it, because it just becomes this thing that's so different and that's so out there that you can no longer connect it with, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, in my experience, it's a fine line, you know, and it's not about, I mean, know, it's not really about whether someone is like a good musician or anything. I mean, I find like usually a good producer will do that, you know. That's what a good producer brings to your table. It's really like be able to take whatever output you have as an artist and just be like, okay, but like what about this, you know, and then just show you something else. And yes, it's a suggestion. It's just you can follow it, and then you can kind of like, oh yes, you know. And that's just, I mean, in my experience, that has been the most rewarding form of collaboration. You know?
Yeah.
You can get with people that can do that for you. It's just truly, truly excellent.
Yeah, I find it definitely has much more to do with like compatible energies.
Absolutely.
And perspectives.
Exactly.
Than it does with
like you
ability.
Have to, you have to like meet each other in some places, you know, you have to react to the same places. And what's interesting is that the more you do it, you know, the more you realize that, okay, you kind of like, you know, you learn each other's kind of like,
yeah,
little kind of like clicks and things like that, you know. And so like it just keeps getting better, you know. Then on the next track you collaborate, or the next project you have, there's just new things you can try. So that's just been really cool. Yeah. And that was a side resolution for myself this past year, was just to try and collaborate as much as I could, try different things, you know, and like just expose myself to different collaborations, just to see, you know.
Yeah,
like,
you never know.
That's it. And I feel like if something works, then it works, and you don't really have to force anything else after that. Yeah. Because everybody just has evolved in this.
Cool. I'm excited. Excited for your EP. I'm excited for all the collaborations and solo works that you're going to do, and that you're currently doing. You're a really amazing musician. I'm very honored to have you in my circle of friends.
My pleasure.
Well, that's it for Unknown Artists this week. Come back next week for part 2 with Clarell.